Very much so, and that's great, you know, from the supporters' point of view, but especially those people who travelled out to New Zealand and all, because it means now the last week, I'm sure they'll be discussing and picking teams for the next 6-7 days until Warren Gatland decides who's going to take the pitch. And really, it gives, you know, it makes it so much better, because, I mean, I remember being there 12 years ago, and after the second test, whenever the Lions were absolutely destroyed, you know, the final week was a bit of a damn squib, and even though they made changes and all, I mean, the New Zealanders won, that was a whitewash 3-0, and I think it was remembered about the Sir Clive Woodward. You know, it was a bit of a disaster, and his PRO man, Alistair Campbell, I think, it got worse and worse, but thankfully this time, even though Warren Gatland has been called a few names and were shown as a bit of a clown, I think it's all been pretty good-natured, and certainly it's a great way now to start off this week, and as I say, next week at Eden Park in Auckland, a destiny will be in the hands of both sides this time.
Alec, how much of that talk in the media and so on is arranged by the various managers, how much of that is for real, or how much of it is to stoke up, I suppose, an interest in the series?
I think, Miles, it's about, I mean, the Gatlin one, I mean, I think it's more the press, the New Zealand press. In fact, Hanson has been on record as to saying he thinks that the New Zealand press have got a wee bit too far. To be fair to Hanson, after the game yesterday, I mean, even when he was asked about the Sonny Boy Williams sending off and everything, I mean, he made a comment which I often make, and you'll have heard me making so often. He didn't make the excuse that his team didn't turn up. He says, I don't make those excuses. We were as good as we could be, but the Lions were better, and that's why they won. And I think that, you know, coming from the New Zealand coach is nice to hear, because so often we hear, you know, excuses are made. He could have said they had 14 men. He could have said their fullback kicked, missed three easy penalties. But no, he gave credit to the Lions for winning the game, and I think that's very important.
It is very important in the circumstances, but I suppose that's the reality. That's what happened. You can't change it. So you're as well to tell it as it is.
Well, I mean, I suppose he's in a nice position, Miles, that he knows that maybe his team didn't play as well yesterday. Obviously, losing Sonny Boy Williams disrupted plans, because, you know, for Jerome Keno to only play 27 minutes in the back row, that was a major setback to the All Blacks, because at the breakdown situation, Keno was superb, and really they had only two back row forwards there, which, you know, gave the Lions that bit of an advantage at the breakdown, and also helps because Keno wasn't sort of the wrecking ball person that he can be, carrying the ball as well. But, you know, the game is over 80 minutes. The referee makes his decisions, and I thought actually Garcia had a very, very good game yesterday. You know, he was pretty decisive when everything he gave, all the penalties were justified. Unfortunately, from the British and Irish Lions point of view, there was a bit of undiscipline at one stage, and Philip Pola, really, I don't know. You'd have thought after the first time he'd have learned, after the second time, but they go a third time, and he actually, to be honest, could easily have got a red card that time he cleaned out Bowden Barrett, because, I mean, he led with the elbow, and at that stage of the game, it was absolute madness. And I heard Graham Rowntree on today talking about it. I actually think that Vinopolo might not even be on the 23 come next Saturday, because Jack McGrath come in, and McGrath will be a better scrummager. He's also a very good loose player. There's Joe Marler, who played very well in the midweek games, who could come on as a replacement, they say, after an hour. But I don't think, I mean, Vinopola has got his chance. He was the same in the first test. I think there was a penalty as well. But those three penalties, mate, you can't afford to have somebody in the team who doesn't learn once or twice.
Yeah, it seems to me in these high-pressured games, it's all down to the people that make the least mistakes.
Well, this is the discipline of the All Blacks, you know, consistently. They don't give you too many opportunities. I mean, obviously, the one at the very end, whenever Sinclair jumped for the ball, and the prop, Fatimullah, had already sort of lined him up, and, you know, he was in the air when he hit him, which is, that was the thing. You know, it wasn't, I'm sure he drew back, but it was just, it all happened so quickly. He had committed himself, Sinclair had jumped for the ball, so therefore there was only going to be one chance happen. I wouldn't have actually said that was undisciplined. I think he was just a wee bit unlucky in the fact that something happened which he didn't expect. But, you know, Atoji, even, who had a very good game as well, on two occasions again, he gave away stupid penalties, you know, and there was one time he tried to kick the ball through whenever he was told to get back. And you know, the referee yesterday gave him an opportunity on quite a few occasions, both sides, to say back offside, what's the offside. So it wasn't as if they didn't know what the referee was looking for. And, you know, if you don't play the referee and learn the first time, I mean, one has to wonder. And that's why I think that Vanapola may well have given us chances of a third test. I don't think he can afford to do that sort of thing. Similarly with young Kyle Sinclair, who got that penalty, he seemed to get very animated after it, and apparently then he reached for a couple of New Zealanders in the tunnel after the game. You know, that's very, very immature, and again, he has to be sorted out, because Whitey has a lot of raw talent. You know, do you have the luxury of him coming on after 60 minutes next week? And, you know, after what happened this week in the tunnel, you can be sure somebody will wind him up, and if he falls the bait, could lose the game because of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, what did you think of Gatlin's choice of players for that second match? And, you know, do you see many big changes coming now in for the final game?
Well, Miles, to be, I mean, I know it seemed at the time everybody talked about it, the selection of Sexton and Farrell together, and obviously Ben Teo not even appearing on the pitch. Of course, that has now been solved in a sense for Gatlin without Teo having to come on, because it was obviously Sonny Boy Williams was a person that they were worried about, especially against Farrell. I mean, during the 27 minutes that Sonny Boy was on, Sean O'Brien from lineouts, he more or less was opposite him. And I mean, he was a man who was earmarked and targeted to get him. Now that Sonny Bill is out of the test next week, it makes it a lot easier, and possibly it will release Sexton and Farrell a bit more. But it's hard to see, Miles, to be honest, making any changes behind the scrum. Maybe Webb, the wedge scrum half, might come on a wee bit earlier for Murray, who's, you know, had played a lot of rugby. You couldn't see the back three. Liam Williams had one or two mistakes, but generally speaking, he's, you know, they were pretty safe, and they've had their two games together, playing together, and I don't really see too much in that. But who he puts on the bench, obviously Ben Teo would possibly be on the bench, and it depends. He has to play Webb as well, so in that one. Up front, it'll be interesting to see, because as I said, I think Vanapola certainly has to be looked at, and I would have no worries about Jack McGrath coming in there, because McGrath has played very, very well in the games, and as I say, Marler has done well too in the two midweek games for that. Second row, an interesting one. I mean, Courtney Laws came in late for Alan Wynne-Jones. Wynne-Jones getting a lot of plaudits today, I see, from some of the press, but I think maybe he had his day yesterday. He did reasonably well, but he's not an 80-minute player. He's not as dynamic as he was, and therefore it's very difficult to see past Tozzi and Courtney Laws. Again, Laws, of course, will have to, you know, temper himself, because he can be a wee bit of a hothead, but nevertheless he brings a physicality which, you know, is needed against Whitlock and Retallick. Ian Henderson again must come into the thoughts, because I mean, in his midweek game last week he was absolutely outstanding, and unfortunately that yellow card, which, you know, wasn't helped by Jonathan Joseph, the two of them actually together almost, it was one of those things, but it would have appeared anyway that whether he had been sinned or not, that Gatlin had made his call, because he took Laws off after I think it was about 45, 46 minutes. So therefore he had decided that Courtney Laws was going to be on the bench. But I think Henderson will certainly be on the replacements bench for the second row. Of course, if something happened to the back row, Miles, I mean, Henderson can slot in there as well. The back row is an interesting one now. Sean O'Brien, thankfully, has been cleared to play, because had he not been cleared to play, that was certainly going to cause a problem. Philip Howe scored a try, but I could not understand why in the last 15 minutes, whenever they needed ball carriers and people to take the ball on, because, you know, they were on the back foot, because at that stage in New Zealand, especially in the centre, were really coming at them. I couldn't understand why CJ Stander wasn't brought on for Faletau in that last 15-20 minutes, because he would have really given you go forward ball. Again, he had an outstanding game last Tuesday. hope this time, if he's on the bench, that he will get an opportunity. I mean, you've also got Justin Tipperick. I mean, you know, he hasn't done anything wrong in all the games, and that's it. Also, as in the front row, George certainly had a, I mean, that break he made will probably keep him on the team, even though when I was looking at his tackle count was quite small. He really never, he's not a player who gets involved at the breakdown all that much. He tends to be one of the pivots at the sides of Rooks and Malls. Would he bring Best in? And I hope maybe that if Hardy came to Hardy, that Best experience and knowledge of the All Blacks could happen. Ken Owens, so it's hard to see him changing anything at that this particular stage now. He's more or less set a stall out by George and possibly Owens or Best, whoever he decides to put on the bench. Best probably has had two very good midweek games, and maybe coming on after 60 minutes could add a lot to it. But again, because Ken Owens really hasn't had a lot of game time, and again, like he didn't even get a chance on Saturday. All Miles, it'll be interesting, but I don't see Gavlin making too many changes. I would question Warburton again. I mean, but Warburton has won that game, and I don't see him dropping Warburton. Despite a lot of people I see in the papers have been making the case, you know, he had a reasonably good game, as Tipperick or other players not better. But Miles, when we're talking about this, spare a thought for a certain young man from Cork, Paul O'Mahony. You lead the Lions out for your first time in the first test, and you find yourself not even thought about for the 23, and probably not even in the 23 for a second time.
Yes, he's hard done by in many ways, but I suppose Gatlin has to do what he thinks is right at the time, and if that's what he thought, so be it. Alec,
you could understand possibly, Miles, that he would have, if it was essential that Warburton had to come back, and again, I would argue very strongly that Warburton did not get back into the Lions team because of his ability and because of how he's playing. He got back in to justify Gatlin making him captain at the start of the tour, which most people realise was a big mistake. And that's the sad thing, because Peter O'Mahony did nothing wrong. He was no worse or no better than a lot of players, I mean, that stayed on. If you can tell me that Alan Wynne-Jones in the first test deserve to get picked for the second test, and Peter O'Mahony didn't, then I would put a very strong argument against you.